Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Rama Uchu. Maranatha Najanimas. Tatpriya Yadvavashyati. Bhutale Niharas Vastare. Sayanam Pasya Satruhan. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. All the women address the king, O master of the citizens, we do not know why your dear wife has taken on this sort of existence. O killer of enemies, kindly look, she's lying on the ground without bedding. We cannot understand why she is acting in this way. Please repeat. All the women address the king. O king, O master of the citizens, we do not know why your dear wife has taken to this sort of existence. O killer of enemies, kindly look, she is lying on the ground without bedding. We cannot understand why she has taken to this kind of life. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. When a person is devoid of devotional service or Vishnu Bhakti, he takes to many sinful activities. King Paranjan left home, neglected his own wife, and engaged himself in killing animals. This is the position of all materialistic men. They do not care for a married, chaste wife. They take the wife only as an instrument for sense enjoyment, not as a means for devotional service. To have unrestricted sex life, the Kurmis work very hard. They have concluded that the best course is to have sex with any woman and simply pay the price for her, as though she were a mercantile commodity. Thus, they engage their energy in working very hard for such material acquisitions. They must search out their intelligence within the heart. A person who does not have a chaste wife, accepted by religious principles, always has a bewildered intelligence. The wife of King Paranjana was lying on the ground because she was neglected by her husband. Actually, the woman must always be protected by her husband. We always speak of the goddess of fortune as being placed on the chest of Narayan. In other words, the wife must remain embraced by her husband. Thus, she becomes beloved and well protected. Just as one saves his money and places it under his own personal protection, one should similarly protect his wife by his own personal supervision. Just as intelligence is always within the heart, so a beloved chaste wife should always have her place on the chest of a good husband. This is the proper relationship between husband and wife. A wife is therefore called Ardharangi, or half the body. One cannot remain with only one leg, one hand, or only one side of the body. He must have two sides. Similarly, according to nature's way, husband and wife should live together. In the lower species of life, among birds and animals, it is seen that by nature's arrangement, the husband and wife live together. It is similarly ideal in human life for the husband and wife to live together. The home should be a place for devotional service, and the wife should be chaste and accepted by a ritualistic ceremony. In this way, one can become happy at home. Bakam karochi vachalam bhangam laite girim yad kripa tamaham bande shri gurun dinatarinam rama uchu naranata najani mastat priya yad vavashyati bhutale niravastare shayanam pasya shatraham. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. All the women address the king. O master of the citizens, we do not know why your dear wife has taken to this sort of existence. O killer of enemies, kindly look. She's lying on the ground without bedding. We cannot understand why she is acting in this way. So, this is the allegory of King Puranjan, told by Narada Muni. And Narada Muni is telling this story to educate the king through this allegory, indirectly. Sometimes, passionate people, if you instruct them, kings generally acting in the mode of passion, people in the mode of passion will become agitated if you directly tell them, this is how you should behave, this is what not good behavior. Their ego will be pricked, so they may react badly and reject the instruction. That is there in the Gita. Prabhupada expands it. He says that if you give a fool good instruction, he'll become more angry. So there's a skill to giving instruction to those who are materially conditioned. Here we see Narada Muni. Of course, he is greatly respected by Prichinabari, the father of the Prichetas. But still, he's being tactful with the king, because his aim is to give instruction. His aim isn't to agitate the king or to appear learned or to put the king in his place. No. The Vaishnav, Panchakalpa Thirubhyascha, we chant, Kripa Sindhu, he's an ocean of mercy. So he is the possessor of full knowledge and realization of Krishna and the Absolute Reality. He understands material spiritual creation. He understands the soul. He knows the process of bhakti. He knows the goal. And he wants to convey that. And from that position of knowledge, if he actually is realized, he will act in compassion. So he doesn't wield knowledge as a weapon. He uses knowledge as food for the soul of those he instructs out of compassion. He's not trying to show he's smart or people down. You're sinful and I'm this and you're that and I'm this. No. He wants to get his message across to King Prichinabari. So this is a very good teaching. We should understand that. Because by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Shastra, Guru Parampara, all of us, we are the beneficiaries of their mercy. By their grace, Daivim Prakritim Ashrita, by being under the Parampara, you are sheltered in the Daivim Prakritim. So we have responsibility to distribute this knowledge to every corner of the universe. If we do that, then our realization and Krishna's grace upon us and the satisfaction of the Guru Parampara will descend. So we must preach in that manner. We must teach in that manner out of compassion. And so here Narada Muni is telling this allegory so that the king can understand his position. King Prichinabari, he was the father of the Prachetas, and they had gone to perform great austerities because they were ordered to, by Parampara, Lord Brahma, to expand the population. But they were doing great austerity to realize Krishna. So even though they were going to expand population, they weren't going to do it from the material platform. They were going to do it as a service for Krishna. And here in this instruction, this particular verse, we see that Narada Muni, this verse, is pregnant with instruction for the Grihastha Ashram. So the Grihastha Ashram in the Varnashram system is entered into after Brahmachari life. 90% more, perhaps, will always take Grihastha life. And there's no shame in that. It is a wonderful thing. But it should be performed according to rules and regulations. There is guidance in the scripture for Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. And through following those instructions, the soul can be elevated to pure Krishna consciousness. He can realize his relationship, his swarup with Krishna. Ultimately, Varnashram, as we see in the conversation with Ramananda Roy, it is preliminary to actually development of the swarup. However, it gives a good framework for the organization of society within which people can purify and regulate their lives and then come to the point of attraction to hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. They can come to sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti, which is embodied in shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, pada, sevanam, archanam, vandanam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. Sri Sri Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, Radhashanda, Lilit Vishaka, Sri Shalagram, Go Mata, Sri Guru Parampara Ki. So, within Varnashram, Stane Shrutikatam Tanuvam Vanobir. This is the advice of Lord Brahma in the 10th canto after the Brahma Vimohan Leela, I think chapter 14. He says, Stane, you stay in your position, whatever it may be, married, whatever, sitting in the forest, whatever, but you hear the Leela of Krishna. That is the Bhagavatam. That is the Chaitanya Bhagavat. You hear the Leela and become absorbed in that. So Varnashram makes a very fertile ground for the growing of Krishna Bhakti. And then the soul will be protected. As Prabhupada says there, those that don't take to devotional service or Vishnu Bhakti become entangled in all sorts of sinful activity. Because instead of following Shastra and knowing what should be done and what should not be done, they speculate what is the best course of action. That's mentioned further on in the purport, if you remember. He said they take the wife as a means for sense enjoyment. And then they search for other women to enjoy. They lose the conception of using life and all circumstances in the devotional service of Krishna. And therefore, they remain in the cycle of birth and death, birth and death. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. This is the real problem. The problem is not this or that. The problem is, you're in the wheel of samsara. You're going round. Sometimes you're a king. This is actually, if you read the 29th chapter, 28th chapter, there's a very wonderful exposition of the process of reincarnation and how the soul is transferred from one body to the next, how the result of the previous activities determine the next life. And that joyride is not very joyful. You're going up and down through all the species of life. But birth, death, old age and disease is your companion. You may be giggling on the joyride, but life is a sentence and the full stop is death. So, Ashradha dhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa. Those who are not faithful in this path of bhakti, or those that have no regard, they mrityu samsara vatmani. They return to the cycle of birth and death. But those that take shelter of guru parampara, shastra, sadhu, guru, they become liberated. So that liberation is effected by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Navada, Bhakti. So, yes, Varnashram is good, and we should have a good married life and regulated, as Prabhupada expounds in the purport. But Stani Shrutikatam Tanuvam, you stay whatever your situation is, and Grihe Tako Vani Takor, you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, and you become absorbed on meditation of the dust from the lotus feet of Sri Yugal Kishore, in the mood, in the line of Sri Sri Gornitai. That will liberate you. What is liberation? Muktir hitaman yata rupam bhavashti swarupena bhavashtiti. Swarupena, in your swarup, your spiritual form, to be situated, liberated from the changeable, subtle and gross bodies. Now we're entrapped. We have a subtle body that's always with the soul, and the gross body is changing according to the fluctuations of karma and the desire that's maintained in the subtle body of mind, intelligence, false ego, and citta. Citta means, in this context, contaminated consciousness, polluted consciousness. The soul is never polluted, but the consciousness is polluted. So, we must purify that consciousness by absorption in Harinam and the Leela of Krishna. In Dasyabhav, Jivera Swarupoi Nichera Krishna Das. People say, I want my Swarup. And they go to this idea, I'm going to enjoy. No, you can't grow, you can't develop your Swarup if you are in the enjoying mood. You can't come to spiritual life and the lotus feet of Krishna and develop your Swarup become free of the changeable, gross and subtle body if you are in the enjoying mood. You have to have dasya. You have to have seva bhav. Anukulyena Krishnanu. This is what Rupa Goswami says. The essence of bhakti is the favorable mood. And you're not in favorable, mood if you go to Krishna and Krishna bhakti to enjoy. You will not find the rasa. You will return to material life. Of course, Krishna bhakti is so powerful that you will be purified, but you'll be on the slow train to paradise. So why not go high speed? From the very beginning of bhakti, we should adopt the mood of service in everything we do. Therefore, the Grihastha ashram here, Prabhupada is pointing out, you see, it is a position for Vishnu bhakti. It is not a position for enjoying the wife, as Prabhupada said. You remember? Said he just take the wife as an object of sense enjoyment. And then the wife will become very disturbed. You're just using me. And then this material relationship will not last. Oh, I love you. I use you. I abuse you. I lose you. But here Prabhupada is explaining what the Grihastha ashram should be. Now, but before you become Grihastha, as we said, there is the Brahmachari ashram. So that is celibate student. But if you look actually, that is only an aspect. Brahmachari means Brahmachari. It means servant of the Supreme. Brahmachari. So, right from childhood, the fortunate student goes to the Gurukul, the place of the Guru. Gurukul means where the Guru is. And he learns that now you're in the human body, don't use it for sense enjoyment. Yes, you may marry. You may become a Grihastha with 1,000 children. But develop the attitude of bhakti in your activities. Don't use your griha for sense enjoyment. Therefore, that is the teaching of brahmachari life, how to be a servant of the Supreme. Then you can enter the Grihastha ashram established in that understanding, and understanding the danger of sense enjoyment, even within the Grihastha ashram, just like the Prachetas, they're performing their austerities, they're going to be Prajapatis, but they are going to perform that for bhakti, for Lord Brahma, for Vishnu. So, in the Grihastha ashram here, Prabhupada explains the first duty, Three words, you can find them in the... What should the man's attitude be? Here, in the verse, if you remember, she's lying on the ground. In the next sloka, it says, she's just like an avaduta. Why is the wife disconsolate? Of course, it's allegorical. Why is the wife disconsolate? Why is she in a bad mood? You don't want to upset the wife. That's one thing you don't want to do in the Grihastha ashram. You want to keep the wife happy. Everyone knows that. And if the wife is happy, the home is happy. The home is centered on the wife. A house without a wife is not a home. So, Prabhupada explains protection. The first duty of the husband towards the wife is protection. Actually, it's even mentioned here, if you remember in the sloka, Shatruhan. Oh, Paranjan, you are there giving a hint. You are, Prabhupada, as in the translation said, protector of the citizens. That is the expanded idea of the king. He is the father of the whole citizen family. But the first duty of the husband is to protect the wife. Then second, after protecting her, and what is protection? It doesn't just mean physical, it means mental and spiritual and emotional. So a good husband is very attentive to the protection on all these levels of his wife. Then he should maintain the wife. The husband is the maintainer of the family. That means on all those levels, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, he should protect the wife. This is the fear. Today is the appearance of Arjuna. This is the fear of Arjuna at the beginning. If the women become degraded by losing all these great Mahajans on the battlefield, then society will fall apart. So the protection of woman means the protection of society. So they should be maintained. And then, as Lord Rishabhdev finishes his teachings in the fifth canto, Guru Niyasyat, Pita Niyasyat, don't become a king, a worshipable demigod, a husband, if you cannot deliver your dependents from the cycle of birth and death. So that is the duty. And the husband should be very proactive. Now in the slaughterhouse education of the modern world, men are turned into passive objects. They're reactive. Oh, it's a hot sunny day, I'm happy. Oh, it's a misty day, I'm unhappy. No, a man, Purusha, Paranjan means enjoyer, he should be proactive. He should have initiative. To be a disciple doesn't mean to become a gopher or a chumcha, an empty-headed nutcase. Yes, yes, tell me what to do. No, that's for children. Yes, children can be trained, they can be socialized, because they'll turn into wild things if they're not. But when one is a man, he should be proactive. He shouldn't be beaten down like this modern Kali Yuga, depleted of all nobility and morality. He should be noble, should be like Arjuna. There's no question of retreat, Arjuna. Stand and fight, Krishna tells Arjuna. So a man, should have backbone. That is not discordant with the concept of humility. That is humility, to obey the order of Guru Parampara. So then the wife will feel protected. Maintained, guided. That is the feminine aspect. And then if you remember a year or two ago in a purport, also fourth canto, Prabhupada explained what is the duty of the wife. He also gave three words, if you remember. What were those three words? She should be very faithful to the husband. What does that mean? That means she should believe in her husband. She should have the conception that my husband is acting nicely. With this attitude, the husband will become empowered. And my wife believes in me, therefore I feel confident. Then Prabhupada also gave the word, faithful, chaste. The wife should be very chaste. Just like here, Prabhupada is criticizing. Actually, it says in the sloka, if you remember, Paranjan went to the forest hunting animals, but Prabhupada interprets that in the purport to mean that why is she lying down? Because you're hunting women. The man should not be a prostitute hunter. So the woman should be very chaste, and the man should be very chaste. That is the sacrifice of the Grihastha ashram. This is the sacrifice, that the wife gives up attraction, contemplation of other men, and the husband does too. Chaste. And then Prabhupada said the wife should be obedient. That does not mean she is just also an empty-headed yes person. But she should, they can discuss. But ultimately, if the man is strong, moral, protective, then the woman should defer to the husband. Not only she should defer, but she should be proactive in her servant, in her service to the husband. This will empower the husband. And this will turn, as Prabhupada says, the house into a happy place. The woman should always be embraced with love and devotion by the husband. And the woman should always remain on within the embrace. And Prabhupada gave the example, just like Narayan has Lakshmi Devi upon his chest. There's a very interesting in the Vanaparva, chapter 22 of the Mahabharata, where Satyabhama meets Draupadi. All the ladies got together and they have a chat. And Satyabhama asked Draupadi, "Draupadi, how is it that your husband's five big Kshatriyas, the Pandavas, are obedient to you and always taking care of you? Are you using some mantra? Is it your beauty? Is it some cream? How are you conquering these?" Because we're saying, right, the woman should be obedient, but Satyabhama, favorite queen, is asking Draupadi, how come they're obedient to you? So Draupadi says, "Satyabhama, of course, we're having a conversation and jokes arise, but if a husband has a wife that is using spells and tantra, then she is like a snake in the house and an object of fear for the husband. So I'm not doing anything like that. What I'm doing is, I never use harsh words to my husband. When they return, I stand up, I greet them. I give them a sitting place. I give them refreshment. I'm managing their treasury. I'm organizing the feeding of thousands of Brahmins. I'm sending foodstuffs to them in the forest. And I'm always careful to see. I never laugh unless they make a joke. I watch their moods and I comply with those moods. If they want to sit silently and rest, I sit silently. And if they're in a boisterous mood, then I enter into the joyful mood. And I always take care to observe their needs. And if one asks a maidservant for a refreshment, then I say, no, I'll get it for you. In this way, they treasure me." So these words should be understood properly when we say obedience. Now in this Rakshasa civilization, they're trying to destroy the family unit. The family unit is the basis of society. If the family is weak, then society is weak, and it can be ruled over by the blood-sucking rakshasas, taxing the people to death. Don't think that this women's liberation has popped out of the sky. It is deliberate. There are books on it. At the Second World War, they observed all the men were fighting. It was observed. Now all the women are out of the home. They're in the factory making bombs. Let's maintain this. And we can tax the women. We can weaken the family unit. We can make the children weak, and we can rule over them. This is the Rakshas Bhav. You must understand. The Rakshas, Tamogun, is angry at the Supreme Lord. He wants to rule. He's Hiranyakashipu. The Asura in mode of passion. He wants to enjoy. The Devata lives in harmony with nature. So this women's liberation is nonsense. It is a creation of the Rakshasa. It is deliberately meant to destroy the family unit. So here, Narada Muni is explaining to the king, here, this is how the family situation should be. The woman should be protected. She should be maintained. She should be guided. And the woman, she should have faith in her husband. She should be chaste. And she should defer to the husband. These are general principles. They may vary in detail and application. But this is the advice of the Vedic religion for married life. And in this way, as we see in the life of Draupadi, she was controlling great big Kshatriyas, but she was deferring to them also. Women are more clever than men. Men are more intelligent, but women are more clever. This is given to them by Lord Brahma. You can read Narada Puran. It explains there. Women are given more diplomatic emotional intelligence than men. Men are more straightforward, but women are more guileful. So if they use this cleverness to empower the man, then the man becomes inspired. But if they use harsh words and diplomacy, and they try to conquer, then the home becomes a hell. Instead of competition for who's on top, there should be cooperation. And in Vaishnavism, as we explain, we're trained to be servants. Just because the woman is protected and maintained does not mean she's inferior. This conception of who is superior, inferior, this is the modern demoniac civilization. These conceptions don't enter into Vaishnavism. The Vaishnavs are a society and they cooperate. And they're ready to give the greatest respect even to the ant, the hogs and dogs, the pigeons. So there's no question of using knowledge to suppress people. Opposition. Rather, the Vaishnav system is Gopi Bhata Kamalayo Das Das Anudas. And Arjuna was told, don't become weak. Don't be retreat. This is the appearance day of Bhagavad Gita. So similarly, the devotees, Srila Prabhupada, when we were children, we played as children, we spoke as children, we acted as children. But when I became a man, I put aside childish things. And they become proactive. Initiative. In spreading this Vedic knowledge
all over the world and indeed the whole universe.
Huh?
Krishna says, now you've heard everything, Arjuna, now you do as you please. But Krishna's advice is you stand and fight. Now if you want to fight, you can't do it on your own. Many sticks in a bundle can't be broken. So all these philosophies that are floating here and there in these stupid magazines and newspapers are all meant to divide and conquer. So man and wife, husband, these are the Vedic religion. This is the advice of the Bhagavatam. This is the advice of the Acharyas. And if we understand that ultimately, I'm not man and woman, muktir hitavan yatarupam, I'm not of this world. However, through karmic influence, by the grace of the Lord, I have a particular mind and body. So let me act in accordance with that for the pleasure of Krishna and the development of my Krishna consciousness. Because that is the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is not actually to have a happy grihastha life. But if there is a happy situation, then it is easy to create bhava in the service of Krishna. We want bhava. Great saints and sages, they spend lifetimes to develop bhava, some love for Krishna, some ecstatic emotion, attachment. So that can be performed within any ashram. We see in the followers of Lord Chaitanya, most were grihasthas, Advaita Chandra, two members of the Panchatattva. Srivas Pandit, he's a brahmachari, but in the Panchatattva, he's married. And there was a Kirtan, Srivasangam. One son died, and the women were lamenting. But Srivas Pandit, don't disturb the Kirtan. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya, the all-pervading super soul, he called, he knew and he called the soul of that child back. And that child gave good instruction. Said, no, there's nothing to lament. He spoke to Lord Chaitanya directly. I'm not this body. Now, by your arrangement, I have taken birth in this family. And now, by your arrangement, my residence in this house, this body, is gone. Now, by your arrangement, I will go to another situation. So this is the devotional mentality. So the Vedic religion is not just for sannyasis in the forest. But there is very sharp arrangement. Those that actually want to maintain celibacy, vanaprastha and sannyas, they should be very attentive. How will they become inspired? They should become inspired by bhajan bhav, by developing power of austerity and bhajan. Those renounced ashrams are meant for jnana and vairag, the children of bhakti. So it's very important that sannyasis, they study the shastra, they preach, they chant not just 16 rounds, but they perfect their chanting. Lord Chaitanya doesn't eat in the house, he once said, except in the house of a lakpati. So those that are in renounced position, they should increase their austerity, they should increase their chanting, they should absorb themselves in the leela of Krishna. And in that way their swarup will grow. And they should perform all these things as yajna, not the enjoying mood. The enjoying mood is the enemy of the spirit soul. But the seva bhav, that is the perfection. Anya bilashita sunyam jana karme anar Hetunanya. Krishna Anushilanam. Sadbhya Bhakti. No. Ye Bhakti Uttama.
So, remember these principles and you will be successful. Ignore them and you'll stagger around like a drunk in the world of mental speculation, and you'll stay in the birth cycle of birth and death. And what are you coming to Vrindavan for? Huh? So become strong, become proactive. That is the message of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna, stand and fight. Everyone, say it. Stand and fight. Ah. Your Bhagavad Gita was spoken on the battlefield. It wasn't in a comfortable living room on a sofa, under a tree on a sunny day. No, it was in the middle of the armies. Ah, so we should realize, yes, we have to show to Krishna, I'm not interested in the Maya Shakti. I want to be sheltered at your lotus feet under the Devim Prakritim. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, we have no time for questions.